David, hello.
Hello, Adrian. How are you going?
Fantastic, mate. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we're actually catching you live from California now. You're not on Mars?
No, not on Mars. Not yet. It's been a very, very sunny week in California.
Fantastic, mate. Could you send some our way? We've got nothing but rain today. So, David, why would anyone want to go to Mars? What are the various reasons to set up a colony on the red planet?
I guess the reason that most people that I know of is it's a way of finding a new life or a way of going off and doing what you want to do, a way to get away from potential restrictions in our current society, which is why many people left Europe to go to America and Australia.
Okay, so you think it would sort of be the 21st century of that sort of expansion of the world, essentially?
I think ultimately that's the way it is, whereas, of course, a lot of the scientists I work with around here in the NASA Ames Astrobiology Division, they're interested in finding life and understanding the Mars environment. But I think most people might see it as a way to travel to a different place where they can express themselves more freely in the way they want to.
Okay. And what do we actually know so far? What's confirmed? Would human life be a possibility on Mars at the moment?
Oh, yes. I think the issues are really technical. So the environment is a lot colder than Earth, and there are dust storms, and the atmosphere is very thin. You would have to live underground or in covered habitats because of the higher radiation levels from interstellar space that reach the ground. For many people, that might be a great restriction.
Mm.
But if you had larger settlements, then you can do more things and make it a more pleasant environment. Many people would go there initially to explore. You go in rovers and you would head off over the hills and finding new things, new destinations and understanding new environments.
All right, so a safari of sorts almost.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Okay, and what does Elon Musk's recent announcement mean for space and human exploration there?
Well, I think it's a great vision. I think he put forward an absolutely fabulous vision, and I think the rocket industry and that part of space, our space activities, does need a vision, and it needs an injection of energy. Rocket scientists and rocket engineers are very, very conservative. There's kind of three things that can happen when you press the button to fire a rocket. One thing is nothing happens. The other thing is it actually takes off. And the third thing is that it blows up. And that's kind of what it's like. There's not much in between. And so rocket engineers, and particularly in NASA, are extremely conservative and risk-averse and just love old heritage that has been seen and deemed to work many, many times. So when someone like Elon Musk comes along with this wonderful vision of building, from what I can see, rockets that were you can go and look in the magazines of 1920s and 30s, space rockets, Flash Gordon and all those sort of things. He's coming forward with something that looks...
Oh, don't tell me we've lost David there. You there, David?
Like that, but with a very strong backing of... Yes, are you here?
Yeah, sorry, I just dropped out there for a second, sorry.
So he's come forward with these sort of 1920, 30 Flash Gordon-type rockets, but with a modern understanding of technology and how to make it work. And I think this is wonderful. I love it all. I'm not sure whether it will actually work, but I just love it. I love it all. I'd love to sit in that rocket and just head off into the sky.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
If you sit in the front, he's got this huge window, the size of a a roof of a house. And just imagine sitting in that and heading away from Earth and looking back at Earth and the moon and heading off to Mars. You can imagine it.
Yeah. Now, what would a manned mission, from a logistical standpoint, what would a manned mission to Mars actually involve?
Well, the key elements are providing a rocket that can leave Earth to head off to Mars, some kind of habitat which you can live in while you're in transport, and then some kind of landing vehicle, a habitat that you can live on Mars, and a vehicle to bring you back, and a vehicle that can bring you back through Earth's atmosphere at 11.5 kilometers per second. And that's actually quite a big thing to re-enter Earth's atmosphere at these high speeds on the return journey. So you need all those elements, and all of them have been done before. Apollo has, gone into deep space and come back. It had a lunar module that landed on Mars. Nobody's built a habitat for the moon, but much of it has already been done for going to the moon in the 1960s and early 70s.
Right.
So it's not that we're repeating exactly the same thing, but it's we can do it.
Right. How far off do you think we are? How many years? Elon Musk was talking about 2022. Do you think 6 years is going to be enough?
Well, Elon's company relies very heavily on NASA and U.S. Air Force funding, and that's the crux. He's been given, I understand, in the order of $5.5 billion to build his rocket stuff.
Wow.
And it's not that he hasn't used his own money, but and he's reinvested it, and he's doing really good stuff, and NASA is giving him the money because they like what he's doing. So, but it really comes down to how much cash you got and what you're willing and what the motivation is. It's very difficult for a U.S. president to come forward and say, well, we want to go to Mars in 6 years. I'm going to come forward with $10 to $20 billion to do that. There's a lot of other priorities around. So there has to be a motivation, a political motivation. And people went to the moon because they wanted to beat the Russians.
Yeah.
It was a technical race. And that was the motivation for spending all that money. Nowadays there isn't that motivation, so this is why NASA feels that it won't be till the 2030s that people will start heading off to Mars, simply by using the existing capacities of what we've got, and each year it gets extended and built on, and new technologies come in, and eventually there comes a point in time where actually flying to Mars with what you've got around you is very easy to work and affordable.
It's all extremely interesting stuff, and very exciting too, to think that we could be on Mars in the not too distant future. David, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily today.
Thank you.